Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. I'm here with Todd Aumann, owner of Dunder & Heister, a sustainable whole animal butcher with locations in the Easton Public Market and a standalone location in Wyomissing at the southern end of our listening area. Todd, welcome to The Inside Dish.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Doing great. To the untrained eye, most meat might look alike. A pork shoulder or flank steak in your display case might look the same as one might see at Wegmans or ShopRite. What are the primary differences when meats are pasture-raised and sustainable?
Frankly, a lot. There's a big difference, and that's why we're in business and what we do. There's a belief that animals, if they're raised in the right way, can provide us nutrients and nourishing foods that make people feel happy and make them healthier.
And when you say the right way, what does that entail?
Yeah, I think it includes several things. I think it's having the right genetics of animals that can flourish on local pasture. I think it's what the animals are fed. We believe in something called body wisdom, that if animals are out on pasture and they're given a diversity of things to eat, the animal knows at that exact time what it should be eating and what it can do to make itself be more healthy. And that's that's body wisdom, whether it's animals or for humans. And then the third thing would be how the animals are cared for. If animals are raised right and treated well and kind of that we're stewards for them, that ultimately that will lead to healthier meat that will sustain us and make us healthier.
Well, when you talk about the idea of a sustainable butchery,
right,
what does that entail? What does the word sustainable mean in that context?
Well, one of my passion plays is, of course, the Pennsylvania Dutch, and believing that our area here, the sense of place, is pretty special. And one of the tenets of the Pennsylvania Dutch is they would have phrases like waste not, want not. It was a belief that you could make a little bit go a long way, and I think that is readily applicable to what we're doing, which is that we're using the whole animal in the traditions of the Pennsylvania Dutch. So once it's slaughtered, the animal comes in, and then we're butchering it and using all aspects of the animal, from tallow to lard to bone broth. So we think it's sustainable because it's very little waste, and we encourage our producers, our farmers, also to do things in environmentally sound ways, such as no pesticides or herbicides, and the animals are on pasture, and it's not very intensive. It's not intensive grazing. It's rotational grazing, and so that's sustainable as well. So it's kind of a full circle way to look at things.
Now, is there a difference between sustainable and organic?
Well, of course, organic is a structure from the United States government in terms of how to characterize food, and there's certain protocols that go with that. As it relates to sustainable, I think that the idea there, and I would call that more regenerative, is a word that I like to use when it comes to agriculture. Regenerative means that you're allowing nature to take the course, and it's using what already exists in a low-intensity area, that man doesn't need technology, that if you allow grasses to grow and you put the animals on those pasture and you allow it to flourish, that's all you need to do. And so that's what I would consider – I would call it regenerative instead of sustainable, but they were pretty synonymous.
Now, you were talking earlier about using the whole animal, and one of my observations is that supermarkets might have a high quantity of a small number of cuts, where butchers like yourself would have maybe a small quantity of a large number of cuts, which I imagine is a reflection of the whole animal approach and something that shoppers might need a little bit of time to get used to.
Yes, well, you know, if you go to, let's say, a wedding and there's 300 people there eating tenderloin, I think, you know, if you're in the butchery business, you sit back and go, wow, think of all the animals that you had to come from to do that. And I think for us, again, it's believing in the whole animal, that what we try to work with our customers, and we try to give them what I call a meat passport. So you want to, if a tenderloin isn't available, maybe you go with the faux filet, or you get them to learn more about eating different parts of the animal and kind of explore. And it's many customers love that because it's exciting, new flavors, new tastes. And again, I would want to say to you that all of these things that we're discussing It goes back to flavor. That this whole movement is about food, whole food that tastes the way nature intended. And so, again, with the whole animal butchery, you're going to eat different cuts and allow that flavor to come through and have different textures and different techniques. But again, it's kind of trialing different things, and people are stayed and like, all I eat is a burger or a tenderloin. And our method allows people to kind of explore and learn about all the other great cuts that are out there.
Well, I imagine if you use a concept like a meat passport, that travel agent would be the butcher, right?
Yes. And in that metaphor, that is the case.
So talk a little bit about having a skilled butcher there to help guide people with cuts, either cuts they're familiar with or cuts they aren't, because that's something that a lot of times you don't get at more of a supermarket or mass-produced place.
Sure, that's a great question. And I think a lot of the reason why we started Dundurn Heister, when I was a kid, we would go to an old butcher shop in Wyomissing. We have a store there in Wyomissing as well as at the Easton Public Market. And it was called Banco's. And the butcher's name was Ray Luckenbill. And he was this Pennsylvania Dutch butcher. And I would go in there with my mom every Saturday. And the cases would look beautiful. And there was this man with a beard and a smile and a boisterous personality. And he would walk my mom through what to buy and what sauces to use and how long to cook it. And as I grew up and I lived elsewhere and moved back, we were frustrated that they're really the Bancos of old were gone. There are no longer, or there are very few of those remaining butchers that are experts and masters. And if you go to a local supermarket, most meat isn't even cut there anymore. It's cut in a plant many, many miles away. And so I think we wanted to bring that back and bring back that feeling, the relationship. There's a picture in my mind that we call the attentive butcher, of that well-respected man in the community reaching over the counter with kind eyes and an understanding look. And magic happens then when the customer says what they need and the butcher is able to provide them exactly that special cut for that occasion. There's something special that happens there, and I think that's what we're trying to recreate with our butcher shops.
Well, how educated are today's consumers about parts of the animal, about the way artisan butchery happens? Is this something that you have to educate, or they come looking for it when they come to Dundurn Heister?
Well, I think one of our main values, one of our tenets at Dundurn Heister, is education. We want to have our staff highly educated, and we want to have them there in a position to educate the consumer. I think we're in a society right now with do-it-yourself, and people want to learn. And I think from when we started to now, you've seen a huge upturn in what people know, but people are curious. I think our biggest thing that we offer is education, because people, even the innocuous pot roast can be pretty intimidating for people. Like, how do you make a pot roast? What is this whole braising thing? And so that's pretty valuable that we do, when we recognize that if you're going into a whole animal butcher shop, it can be intimidating. You walk in, you see all these cuts. What's a faux filet? What are these items? And I think that what we want to do is be able to educate the consumer, anticipate that they need understanding, and that we're there to help out.
Do you think that educational role is something where you're taking that on, where perhaps it was a generational thing years ago, where you might learn from mother or grandmother, where you had this nuclear family or people in the area? Now, people are a little more spread apart. They're not doing that. And perhaps that education is falling on people like yourself and maybe to some extent television food shows.
Right, yeah, the food shows are inspiring it, but I think you're exactly right. I think there's a whole generation of people. Like, I remember, because I'm in the business now, I think back to all that my mother did, but I went off, had another career, and I think that food was just about sustenance. It's something that you would just get because you were hungry and you would move on. And I think now as a society, it's more than that. It's more than sustenance. It's an experience. It's wanting to have the self-satisfaction of being able to cook yourself. And I think that's really an important role, especially with everybody being so busy. I think the challenge is everybody wants to eat better, but they don't have a lot of time. And so it's up to companies like Dundurn Heister to help provide quick, convenient solutions that, oh, by the way, are healthy and local. So we're providing that service. We're getting them what they need and doing it in a quick, convenient way. So it's the best of both worlds, I think.
Well, speaking of quick and convenient, you don't just offer butchered meats at both locations. You have some prepared foods and sandwiches. Right. Talk a little bit more about the development of those and how they coincide with the sustainable whole animal butchery approach.
Sure. Well, I think first and foremost, beyond the concept of whole animal butchery, is that we want to be a one-stop shop for our customers. So we realize they're coming across town many times to buy that flank steak or that special cut. And we want to have convenient things that allow the individual, the customer, the guest, to make a meal. So that first and foremost. But in addition to that, because we're using the whole animal, it's up to us to be ingenious and to use the whole animal in creative ways, delicious ways, and ways that ultimately, again, make it a convenient solution for the customer.
I know earlier this year, I think it was over the summer, you had the opportunity to take part in a James Beard dinner in New York City.
That's right, yes.
Talk a little bit more about that. It sounds like something really special where Pennsylvania was represented.
Yeah, again, I think another inspiration for us and my passion play is the Pennsylvania Dutch Foodway. I believe that because of that foodway, much like other regional cuisines, there is a potential to have an economic effect on this community, that if we say eat like you live here, and the belief is that, you know, we're pretty lucky. We have amazing farms, some of the richest soil on the face of the earth, and we have a lot of history, a lot of heritage in how we eat. And I've always wanted to revive that, but revive the core elements of it, but make it work for modern day palates. And I've always admired Chef Lee Chismar from Belit Restaurant, fantastic chef. And very early on, we began collaborating and discussing ways that we might be able to do things that could help elevate the Pennsylvania Dutch Foodway into regional status. And by working together, Lee had always had opportunities to go up to James Beard, and we collaborated. It was his show, but it was our meats, and we brought a whole team from a local food historian, William Moyes Weaver, and other folks there along the way to tell this story, this what I believe very, very important story for our region of what it means to be from here and what it means to eat like you live here. And it was an honor to be up there in New York City and to have our food kind of achieve its rightful place among America's great regional cuisines.
Well, certainly if you're looking for someone to elevate the idea of Pennsylvania Dutch cooking, I can't think of someone better than Chef Chismar.
Indeed. Yeah.
Well, Todd, thank you for joining us here at WDIY and sharing your story at Dunder & Heister and everything that you're doing.
My pleasure. Thanks.
I'm Mike Drabenstadt, and this is The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.